Hey, welcome to Skinny Fries, the podcast about basically nothing. I'm your host, John Braverman, and joining me today is our co-host. You want to introduce yourself, Amir?
I've been downgraded to co-host.
I don't know. I was gonna say my guest, and then it's like your podcast, and I'm the guest.
This week, I guess it's all about my gas adventures, right?
It's adventures and gas. Welcome to
Ah,
Skinny Fries. I am one of your co-hosts, John Braverman. On the other line, joining me is Amir Baruzian, who is gonna he's gonna be the topic of today's show, because we are here to talk about his gas.
I've been very gassy lately. I like that little bit about like the podcast about nothing. I really enjoy that. I think we should stick with that.
Right.
Anyway, happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
What a
And we're doing a
weekend.
new we're, this is a new version of Skinny Fries this season. We're trying drive time co podcasting.
Yeah, this is basically because we are both too busy and too lazy at the same time to
No, we're creating a new
actually.
medium called drive casting. It's come
Yeah,
on, you gotta own
great.
it.
Great. Well, we should. This is the origin story of drive casting.
Yeah.
When you're both too lazy and too busy to make time to record a podcast, you drive cast.
These are yeah, we drive cast.
Trademarked, by the way. Officially trademarked.
Yes.
The world heard it here
Yeah, no
first.
no one steal our
Our horrible
high
idea.
quality episodes with three listeners.
That's right. We're
Okay,
yeah.
so
Me. That's me. It is
after
I.
many months, weeks, and years of insulting me,
I did not insult you.
you have. There's
No.
episodes, they're recorded.
There's no insulting. It's questioning.
Well, I question your decision. So
Yeah.
you made a purchase, and I want to hear about the purchase, the why, and the again, early
Yes.
days, the honeymoon phase,
Yeah.
feelings about your new acquisition.
Yeah, so I made a purchase and I made some sales. So it's kind of not quite an offset, but it's the road to recovery.
Yeah, Amir Math, go ahead.
Yeah, mere math, exactly. I don't know what that beeping was. That was interesting. So basically, I have for a while. Okay, let me back up. I'm sorry. I'm losing my train of thought because I'm trying to figure out what that beeping was.
Oh,
Okay.
it's
So,
the reminder that we're reporting. It's going to happen
oh, great,
every 4 minutes. Yeah.
great. So years and years ago, when I first this is kind of during COVID, when I first started getting into photography. I acquired a Leica Q2, and I basically had started with Fuji. I sold all my Fuji stuff. I went to a Leica Q2, and I absolutely loved that camera. And in all honesty, just should have kept it. Absolutely loved it, but I ended up selling it, and because I wanted more flexibility in my setup. And again, mind you, I was starting off. I didn't really know what I wanted. In hindsight, right? I didn't know photography styles. I didn't know what my style was. I didn't know what all that entails. So I would just buy stuff and sell stuff and figure it out.
Yeah, because the Leica you had was prior to your Fuji run and your Sony run, right?
No, I thought it was. I think it was Fuji, then Leica, then briefly Canon, then Sony.
I don't think so. I think the Leica, well, wait a minute. What, Canon?
Yeah, I remember I had a Canon for like 3 days.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, well, I was in Alabama, so I'm sure it's on one of our podcast episodes, one of our many camera-related podcast episodes.
Okay, so
Anyway,
Q2.
so fast forward this year, and for the past couple of years, I've been strictly a Sony shooter. Love my Sony setup. Have an A7CR, plethora of lenses. Earlier this year, actually not earlier, about 3 months ago, I acquired a Fuji X106,
Yep.
and the idea was one it. Really coveted camera, had heard a lot of great things about it. So, thought it would make sense to have it as a second camera in my lineup, kind of my everyday camera. And
Right.
and I'll give credit where credit is due. You did tell me, like, listen, bud, it's not as small as you think it is. Right? So it's not like a pocketable camera. It's smaller than the Sony with a lens for sure. Not a pocketable camera. So anyway, I got it. I used it for a few months. I took it on a couple trips. And ultimately what I found with it is a really cool camera. Lo love the styling, love the exclusivity of it. But what I ultimately realized with it was that even though like the film recipes are really cool, I still prefer to shoot in RAW. And honestly, like it's not even the sensor count or anything. It's more maybe the sensor than the megapixel count. It just wasn't the quality that I wanted, and maybe the quality I was used to shooting with my Sony. Because it is the Sony is a full frame sensor, and it is just a better sensor. And not that I pixel peep, I don't print large, but what I do a lot of at times is cropping. Not huge cropping, not slight cropping here and there, but even outside of that, the ability for that camera to bring in light the way I wanted it, and maybe the way I was used to it with my other lenses, just wasn't what I was thinking it was. So, all that is to say, my mind started wandering and looking at other options, and I kept going back to Leica. You know, if you remember a couple months ago or a month ago, I was in San Francisco. I went to the Leica store. We've talked a lot about Leica. And recently, Leica released a Q3 43mm that you and I had some good conversations about. And you know, again, credit where credit's due. You know, you recommended and advised that if I was going to get one, I should get that one because of the focal length. My favorite is a 35. Like I'm a 35 shooter. Initially, my thought process was get the 28 because you can crop into 35 and 50. And kind of those are like two of the three main kind of focal ranges, or maybe all three of the main focal lengths on the wide end, on the wide end. But you know, I started watching a ton of videos on 43 and how it is almost one-to-one with what you see in the world. I think like as science is like 42 and a half millimeters is kind of like your real life focal length. And anyway, so I had an opportunity and I bought one. And through this, the other part of this story is what am I going to do with all the shit I already have? Because I found myself really one of the struggles I had with the Fuji is I don't need two camera bodies because I was always in this dilemma of which camera do I take? Because I put myself in an awkward situation last year when I bought the A7CR because it's also a small camera body comparatively speaking to A7IVs, A7R5s, etc. It's a smaller camera body. And so now I have two cameras that are, you know, smaller, dimensionally smaller. Differences lenses, obviously. And I've spent all this money on glass. I want to use it, but then I have this Fuji that I spent a lot of money on. I want to use that, and it's a struggle. Anyway, so what I landed on is this, and part of this is already done. So I got the Q343, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I sold my Fuji. I actually sold it to a couple who was really excited to have it, so I know it's going to a good home, which is cool. And I've decided that I'm keeping my Sony, but I'm only keeping two of my lenses, because they have specific use cases. So I'm keeping my 14mm G Master because it's good for vlogging, it's good for ultra wide angle, it's good for architecture, it's good for astro. Great. And then I'm keeping my 70 to 200 on the other end of the spectrum, because it's good for everything that's the opposite of the 14. And so everything in the middle, everything that's my daily normal 90% of my focal length shooting style, the Sony isn't going to be that for me. It's become a very specific use case camera for me, and I'm perfectly okay with that. Because now that also takes away this internal struggle of which camera do I take? So, and then I got the Q343. So I got it. It was delivered on Saturday. And early, you know, 48-hour review. I love it. There's definitely some cons to it, but none of these are deal breakers. But they're just some cons to it. It is heavy.
Let's go. So yeah, let's go there first. I want to hear the things you don't love out of the gate, and then the things that you do love.
Sure. So it is heavy. And I'll tell you. So I didn't buy any accessories for it. Well, I bought one pseudo accessory, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I didn't buy any accessories for it because when I got it, I got it sent to me with a couple accessories already, one of which I am not using, and the other one I am using. So it came with a the person I bought it from sent it to me with a original gray colored Leica rope strap.
Oh, cool.
That was like a limited edition from years ago. They don't make anymore. I put it on the camera and I quickly realized I don't love it. I don't like
Yeah.
it at all, actually. So
Yeah,
now it's a
they look cooler than they are.
100%. They're, you know,
Yeah.
and like I was walking around 2 days ago, taking some photos, not around my neck because that became very uncomfortable because the camera's heavy. So I tried to like wrap it around my wrist, and rope straps are thick and not very pliable, maybe.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome in a product shot. Like if you did a
Correct.
YouTube video,
Yes.
you would put it on to record the video for sure.
Yep. So that went away, but he also sent it to me with a hand grip.
Okay.
Now,
The
the
Leica
hand,
one?
no, it's not a Leica one. I don't remember the
Okay.
company, but I looked it up. I looked up their company. It's like a modular hand grip. It's like a $300 hand grip, which is really cool,
Oh,
and I can
wow,
always
nice.
change out the grip part. But the one that came with it is a metal base with a metal. It's like a matte black anodized metal.
It's like Ulanzi or Small Rig, someone like that.
It's not small rig. I think it's Ulanzi. I'll look it up and I'll let you know.
I was just curious. I have a hand grip that I don't use because it makes it heavy.
So it makes it heavier. However, I found that I love the hand grip over the thumb grip.
Interesting.
For a couple reasons. One, I just feel like it holds it better, and I can use the little groove on the back for my thumb, kind of like as intended. But also because the hand grip has an Arca Swiss mount base.
Sure, which
So
is great.
if I ever want to tripod it, I don't need anything else. I just need my tripod,
Right.
clip it in, and you're good. Now, it doesn't work with a capture clip, but this isn't a capture clip camera. So
Well,
I
and
mean, it could
some
be.
do. My hand grip works with a capture clip. Because
Does it have
well,
another
we can have
screw on
a
the bottom?
we can discuss that later. There's
Okay.
a whole capture clip ecosystem that you don't know about yet.
I don't know if I want to go down that path, but I'll ask. So anyway, so I love the capture clip. So basically the only thing I have on the camera that's an accessory other than that was I had a brass shutter release for my Fuji that I put on the Leica.
Okay, cool.
And it's pretty complete. Like I got it set up. I again like I've used a Q2 before, so it wasn't completely new to me, but I just miss how amazing this camera is. So I went out, like I said, the other day, took some shots. I sent them to you. I think I sent you three photos. Two of the photos I took in macro mode, just of some flowers in a park. In RAW, no editing required. Just came out like that in RAW. And I was like super impressed with the color science. Now the mistake I made with those two photos, and I didn't come out horrible, but the mistake I made is I was also in manual focus mode for them, and I should have just kept it in autofocus. But still, came out fine. I'm learning the camera, so I want to kind of mess around with it and figure it out. I love the Photos app. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I love one thing about the Leica Photos app that neither the Sony nor the Fuji do, which is like it is constantly updating geolocation because it gives you the ability to always allow location versus only when
Yeah,
you're
for sure.
using the app. And I can't tell you how many times I forget on Fuji and the Sony to launch the app before taking photos. I just don't think about it because I just want to grab my camera and take photos.
Right.
And I love the geolocation thing. Again, camera's fantastic. Absolutely love it. The menu system is taking some getting used to. I enjoy it, with one exception that is a challenge for me, and that's setting up profiles, because I kept setting my settings and then I go back and they're gone again. And it's not very intuitive that like once you set your settings, you have to go into like profiles and go to manage profiles to then save a profile. It's weird. Anyway, I figured it out.
I don't know that I've ever done that. What do you mean the settings are gone?
Well, so like I have some specific settings that I set, right, for either sounds or display or whatever.
Yeah, I got it.
And yeah, and so like I want to save them to a profile because I have different, right now I have two different profiles. I have my standard profile that has my standard settings, and then I have a street profile that changes it to continuous autofocus, highlight metering, 7 second burst, whatever, right? And so I can quickly switch if I'm doing street photography to that, and all my settings go with it, which I think is really cool. But like It just took me a while to figure out how to save settings in the first place because I would change them, and then I would like, because like if you go into profiles, there's default and there's off, and like
Yeah,
you can't change the default. I don't even know why there's a default because you can't change it.
I think mine's just on default. I don't think I've ever done that. That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway, so I just had to Google it. Once I figured it out, it's fine. I had an issue with my lens cap. Not my lens kit. Yeah, my hood, my lens hood, where it just wouldn't be tight, but I fixed that.
How did you fix it? You said that.
I took a very, very, very small piece, cut it down of black electrical tape, and I put it on the inside of the hood, and I just screwed it on. Just a tiny, tiny square on the thread on the inside of the hood, and that was enough to screw it on and keep it tight. And I'm never going to
Got
take
it.
it off. I'm never going to take it off, so I don't care, but it was just an easy fix.
I was going to make a recommendation. That's fine what you did, but
Well, the
they
rings, so I know I could use like the little rubber gasket rings that come with like other hood scoops. I just didn't have any laying around.
No, I didn't mean that. I
Oh.
think my recommendation was going to be plumber's tape. If you go get a piece of black plumber's tape,
Yep.
it'll make it also watertight, which would be awesome.
Yeah, I have white plumber's tape. I just couldn't get it to stick. But anyway, this worked, so it's fine. It did its job. But yeah, that's my review of it. Oh, and then I bought
Nice.
one. I ordered one accessory that'll be delivered Wednesday. I ordered the Oberworth Q bag
Oh God.
for it. Because you and me, we always struggle with bags. It's not like a, it's just a small, fits the Q and a little pocket for accessories and a pocket for your phone. So it's gonna basically replace my 6 liter Peak Design bag.
Yeah, I gotcha. I
That's it.
gotcha. Awesome. So well, I'm excited for you to have it. I think there's going to be parts you really like about it. I think there'll be some parts you're frustrated about, but we'll see if as those come over the next few weeks. Ironically, I was leaving the house the same day you got yours because we had to drive up to Prescott for gymnastics, and I had a bag packed out with my Sony, the 35 on it, with my variable ND for video, my 70-200, and the Leica. And my wife said no.
You're like going for a photo shoot.
You and
Pat.
so obviously the camera I should have brought was the Sony with the 70-200 so I could get shots from the bleachers.
Yeah.
But honestly, I've got so many this season that one more shot on beam isn't going to be a lot different than the last one, because
Sure.
I'm not on the floor. I'm not like in if I were on the floor, that'd be really different. I would
Sure.
definitely like do the full sports photography thing.
Yeah.
But when you're up in the bleachers, candidly, there is no such thing as a good shot from the parent view.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like crappy shot or crappy shot. So instead I just brought the Leica and figured I'd catch some mountains in Prescott if I needed to. And so we were texting back and forth, pictures of our camera from our seated position shot on our smartphone. So I didn't shoot any great ones, but I was definitely reminded of the things I love and don't love about that camera.
It's I don't know. I mean, I think again, this is the everlasting struggle of life and technology is that there's very rarely a one size fits all solution to anything. And it's not even technology, it's with bags, it's with literally everything. And so that's where like you and I, we have very different needs when it comes to photography and equipment for that photography. Our styles are different, and obviously you have children, and that requires certain lenses, certain styles, and I don't. But I'm hoping that this is the solution. And what I learned from previous experiences is that regardless of how my needs may or may not change in the future, I'm going to keep this camera as just a lifelong camera. And I think that's where like keeping the Sony, I think, was a smart play because if my needs change, I just get a Sony lens and I'm good. Like
Yeah,
that.
the reality of it is, you will not listen to this, but I'm gonna say it either way, so you can go back to this recording.
I
Like,
might listen to
for the joke earlier, gas is gear acquisition syndrome, and it's the desire to constantly have new things.
it.
The if you had a Q1, which came out 10 years ago now, 9 years ago. It would be perfectly great for shooting that. It would have taken that picture of the whatchamacallits, the flowers, every bit as good as what you just took. It would not have been any different, not 1% different. It for a photo where you're able to frame it, you could manually focus, and you're shooting something that isn't moving. The Q1 and Q3 are the exact same camera, great glass, great image sensor, fantastic imagery. All of the advances in photography over the last decade have been about autofocus and movement, right? Reading out the sensor faster, getting better autofocus, which the Q3 is significantly better than the Q2 or Q1. It does, eye tracking autofocus. It is not in the stratosphere of the Sony or the Canon, but it definitely can do it, right? But when I think about my Q3, because I own one too, obviously, that is a camera that I plan on 5, 10 years, just own it and don't try to make it be something it's not. Take it when you want to shoot a shot of Horseshoe Bend, and it's going to be stunning. But also, don't try to use it in an autofocus setting in sports. Don't try to pull video off of it. Like all the things that it's bad at, just don't worry about it. But then also, the trick is don't fall for the Q4, Q5 are going to suddenly change my life. Like they're actually not. They're going to be about the same. And so for me, I'm saying this out loud so I don't buy an M series camera because I know while I want one, the imagery would not look any better on that M series because we're kind of reaching the finite ability of cameras to collect, a photo, right? And that's why every YouTube video you see is about video because really from a photo standpoint,
It's
I
kind
said
of
this to you the
hippie.
other day. Yeah, the Sony A7, two that I had that I took pictures of Lily when she was born and the Sony A7R5 that I have don't really look that different photography wise.
I think one thing that for people like you and I who do have gas is helpful in this realm. And this is something that I also it's a small part of like my thought process behind the switch to the Q3. And then ultimately I do want to at some point in my life when I'm we're driving. When I'm wealthier and can afford it, I want to just move into a complete Leica ecosystem
Sure, of
eventually.
course.
I think we all do, right? But it's just a matter of the financials and it making sense for what we're trying to shoot. But what I appreciate about, something like the Leica in this sense is that like Leica doesn't release new cameras all the time. And
No.
when you look at the Q3, to your point, the Q1 came out a decade ago. They've only released two cameras in 10 years.
Yeah, that's actually their very normal release schedule. They're a 5 to 7 year company.
Which is great because then you can buy a camera like a Q3 and know that you're not going to be tempted with a Q4 in 6 months,
Yeah.
right? And this is where like a company like Sony, and again, I love my Sony, but where it gets really frustrating with companies like Sony and Canon and Nikon and everybody else is that like Sony will release like an A7, A7CR today and then an A7 5 tomorrow and an A7 5S in 6 months and then all their other, ZV-E10s and what like it's a lot. And then right when they stop doing bodies and like, oh, here's a new series of G Master lenses and here's this and here's that. And it's like there's too much unnecessary temptation, I guess is a good way to put it.
So I mean, Sony is a I've said this before. They're a consumer goods company,
Right.
right?
And
Like they're,
they're a mass producer. Like
yeah.
they built a
I
mass
appreciate
sell.
them for what they are, but ultimately the problem with Sony is you could buy they made 15 different cameras this year, and you could find 15 YouTubers telling you what each of those cameras is the best camera. And the reality of it is, every one of those YouTubers is shooting on an A7S3 or an A7IV. None of them are using any of the other cameras that Sony's ever released because, in the spirit of what a good camera is, if you're shooting video, you just want a fast readout and the ability to get a decently sized, high bit rate video off your camera in a quick way, right? So I'm glad to like I had two things on it. One, have you? Well, you probably know because you had the other one, but have you figured out that that rear thumb dial with the button on top that you probably have set to exposure compensation is completely customizable?
I know that it's extremely customizable. The wheel itself is set to exposure compensation. I changed the button to Leica Lux for
So what I
now.
love about that wheel, this is what I mean by that. It's a Leica feature. Every camera maker should copy this. And it's actually all the buttons are the same. Any button on that camera, if you press and hold
You
for
can
more than 3 seconds, instantly
program
change
it.
it. Yeah. So I don't even customize them because you could just customize it on the fly. It's great.
Well, and that's what I meant is like that's what I did is I reprogrammed them. But what I also like about the exposure comp wheel that other camera like my Sony doesn't do, and maybe it's just because there's more wheels on that. I don't know. But if I am in auto shutter, that wheel is exposure comp. But if I go to manual shutter control, no matter what number I set it on, that wheel automatically becomes fine-tuning shutter speed. Which I like because obviously you don't need exposure comp if you're controlling it with shutter speed, to an extent, I guess. So like
You're
I
talking about
like
if
those
you
little.
controlling if you're an aperture priority, if you're controlling the aperture on the
No.
lens.
So but I'm talking about the shutter dial. I keep it on auto because I shoot an aperture priority, right? But if I change the shutter dial to say 250 or 1000 or whatever number I put it on other than auto, my exposure comp wheel automatically becomes a shutter wheel. So I can fine tune that shutter speed automatically.
If you don't want to use the manual on top, I understand. It becomes a digital control for a physical button. Yeah.
Correct. So like I could put the shutter wheel on top to say 8, but then I can also change it at that point with the exposure wheel to anything else. But if
Yeah.
it's an auto for shutter comp for shutter speed, then my wheel is automatically exposure comp, which I love. So there's a few things that I did that I changed or programmed. You're not going to agree with one of them. Well, one of my buttons on the back does the digital zoom, which I'll see how much I use it before I change it to something else. I'll probably end up
Yeah.
changing it to something else. The
Right.
other button on the back for me is perspective control, which I learned about that Leica does that I think is really cool. And so I have it programmed because one, because I don't actually have a use for those buttons very often. But I want to have it handy so I actually use it if I need to. So that's kind of neat. Again, I haven't had a camera.
What does that mean?
So
What is that
when you
feature?
turn on perspective control, the cam. Okay, so let's say I'm taking a picture looking up at a building. Normally, when you take a picture looking up at a building, that building gets narrower as you go higher because it's
Course.
right. Perspective control automatically fixes that.
Oh, it's keystoning. Okay,
Yeah,
got
it
it.
automatically fixes it, and then it also translates over to Lightroom, right? So it
Yeah, but you're gonna
automatically.
do that in post, right? So
But
why do
it's
you, what does it matter?
because it's easier for it to just do it for me, and I don't have to worry about doing it in post.
Okay,
It's
so
just a,
the same. The reason for anyone listening that I don't like him using the auto crop features are it's no different than doing it in post. So all we're making an argument for is like a looks.
Yeah,
Is are
well.
you a person that's comfortable doing it in camera
Right.
or are you a person that's comfortable doing it in post? I just don't mind doing it in post.
Now,
There's
no, I don't mind doing it in post either, with one caveat when it comes to cropping, when it comes to digital zoom. The reason I do like doing it in camera is purely from the composition perspective.
Yeah, you can see the framing. I get it.
And that's why. So like that's in post, you kind of can't see the framing the way you wanted to see it when you're shooting it, unless you remember. Which I don't. But yes, you can do it all in post and it's just as good.
Sure.
I did realize a challenge though in post with the Q343. Lightroom is not updated for it yet. And so when I go into Lightroom to edit photos, it does not even carry any Leica profile settings into it because it just doesn't recognize the 43 yet.
Have you tried to manually download the camera profiles from Adobe?
No, I'll just wait for a Lightroom update or a camera raw update to come. It shouldn't be too long.
Got it.
And that'll fix it. I mean, it's not like I'm, shooting every day where I need to have those right away. But it was just kind of a
No,
funny
but
thing because it's different than the 43, obviously, because the 43 profile should be there.
the
I'm
28, yeah.
sorry, the 28. I'm sorry, the 20. Yeah, but the 43 is not.
The other thing I was going to bring up, I said two features that I really love about it. The other one is actually something you earlier alluded to, the Photos app, and all those camera photo apps are mediocre at
Yeah,
best,
not
right?
great. Not great.
I would say the Leica is actually the best of all of them in my experience from like a speed and resiliency. It kind of hangs on really well. One of my favorite features, and maybe the Sony app does it now because they just switched to their other app, although you can't update the R5 to that yet, so it doesn't not something I can try. But when I use the Leica, and I did this when I was in Prescott, and you grab a photo, you can bring it in JPEG form, which is what all the other apps do, but you can actually just bring in the raw file. Which for me is great because my flow is I bring everything in raw, I edit it in Lightroom, and I send it out to the Photos app on my smartphone. That is not a feature that any other app that I've seen any other app do,
The
and
Fuji.
it's remarkable.
Yeah, I love that feature. I actually the Fuji app does do that
The
now.
new X app does. Okay.
Yeah, so you can basically check and it shows you which ones are JPEG, which ones are raw, and you can just check the ones you want to bring in and bring them in. I think what you're talking about with the Leica app, though, that is different is that you can filter instead of having to check every raw one, so like check every other box basically, you can just do filter to DNG or filter to JPEG and it only shows you
What,
that.
and I don't shoot in JPEG, so for me it's really easy. I just bring the DNG files, and then I drop them into Lightroom Mobile, do my edits, and then export out.
I right
And
now
I
I'm
think it's
shooting in both.
fantastic.
Right now I'm shooting them both, but I'm going to change that.
Yeah, because you're just bringing up a Leica looks, right?
But
I
it's
mean,
like
look, the one on my criticism list, I would give anything for them to handle profiles the way Fuji does. And put those Leica looks into Lightroom automatically. That because that's the dream, right? Is I can shoot in RAW, and then if it's photos that I don't care about or I'm not interested in editing, I can just apply those quick JPEG looks on them and be done. And I hate that it's not a feature. I don't know what Fuji does differently. They're the only company I've ever seen that does their own profiles inside of Lightroom, and it really annoys me that Leica doesn't because it's such an easy win. And hell. Leica, I mean, for those that don't know, they're ungodly expensive and they nitpick every dollar from you. It's kind of their way. They're very Porsche, BMW. Charge me $50. I will give you $50. Just like take my money so I can have your feature. Please. Please, Leica. How do you say please in German?
I don't know. What would I know?
Skinny fries.